X-Talks connects professionals in the life science, medical device, and food industries with useful content like webinars, job openings, articles, and virtual meetings to help you succeed in your career. This Food Industry Focus podcast brings together some of our editorial staff to share insights into the latest B2B industry news to help keep you up to date.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the X-Talks Food Podcast. I'm Sydney Perlmutter, Senior Food Industry Journalist and Webinar Moderator at xtalks.com, and this week I'm joined by Aisha Rashid. Thanks for coming today. So I'm going to start us off with a story about a very unique meal delivery company that I found. And I know we've all heard of sort of those meal delivery companies, and this is a little bit different. It's not a meal kit delivery. However, these are the pre-made meals. So this company is called Modify Health, and I'll get into a little bit about what industry that they're part of, but it's called the food as medicine industry, and it kind of speaks for itself, but I'll get into the details a little bit later. But this company recently released four new meal plan offerings catering to a variety of dietary needs in the U.S. So these new plans were thoughtfully introduced in response to increasing demand from consumers managing specific medical conditions, including celiac disease, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, polycystic ovarian syndrome or PCOS, and beyond. And these were released following the success of its Monash University low FODMAP certified meal plans and the Mediterranean diet plans. So the new offerings bring practical, hassle-free meal delivery solutions to a broader demographic, addressing many of the pain points of Americans who rely on therapeutic diets for health optimization. So in a press release from Modify Health, the founder and CEO GB Bratt said, "The expansion of Modify Health's meal plans allows us to provide care and relieve pain points for even more consumers dealing with the struggles of restrictive diets. We look forward to introducing new audiences to the benefits of food as medicine so they can live better and reduce the costs associated with these chronic conditions." So yeah, what is the food as medicine industry? It refers to a philosophy that promotes the use of whole foods, nutritional therapy, and diet modifications to prevent, manage, and even treat certain diseases and health conditions. It's rooted in the ancient belief that food plays a crucial role in health and wellness, but the modern food as medicine movement has grown in popularity in response to increasing concerns about the limitations of conventional medical treatments, the side effect of pharmaceutical drugs, and the rise of lifestyle-related chronic diseases. The food as medicine philosophy often integrates a more holistic view of health, considering not just the physical body, but also emotional, mental, and environmental factors. It emphasizes a preventive approach, rather than treating symptoms after they appear. And this philosophy is also rooted in science. Recent scientific research has supported many food as medicine concepts. Nutritional science has identified various bioactive compounds in food that have potentially therapeutic effects. So for example, omega-3 fatty acids from fish have been linked to cardiovascular health, while certain phytochemicals in plants may have anti-cancer properties. Can't hurt to eat either, even if it doesn't have them. But the food as medicine industry is not just a trend either, but a rapidly growing movement in the health and wellness sector. According to Prophecy Market Insights, the global food as medicine market was worth $116.27 million in 2020 and is estimated to reach $239.11 million in 2030 at a compound annual growth rate of 7.5%. So back to the company, though. Modify Health differentiates itself from other meal delivery services by ensuring culinary excellence thanks to recipes by award-winning chefs. And furthermore, the company's commitment to health is quite evident given the oversight provided by its team of registered dietitians, ensuring that the meals are as beneficial as they are delicious. So these new four meal plans address an array of dietary needs. So we've got a gluten-free one, which is tailored for people with celiac disease, gluten sensitivities, or those seeking general wellness. We have a heart-friendly one, which is perfect for those managing cardiovascular diseases, hypertension, or high cholesterol. We have a carb-conscious one, which is ideal for weight loss, those overseeing blood glucose, individuals with PCOS, and other metabolic concerns. And then we've got a diabetes-friendly one, which is designed for people with type 2 diabetes, those aiming for lower blood pressure and general wellness. So since it was founded in 2018, Modify Health has received a total of $14 million in funding over 3 rounds. The company's latest Series B funding round was raised in January and saw an investment of $10 million. Modify Health's success also earned it a spot in Inc. magazine's top 100 fastest-growing private companies in America. And in a competitive landscape where many providers, including Vitable and Sion Health, vie for this sort of attention, Modify Health leads with its medically informed, chef-driven approach, which has certainly resonated with thousands across the country. And now with the launch of these new meal plans, Modify Health solidifies its reputation as a front runner in the food as medicine industry. So this was kind of the first that I've ever written about and kind of heard of the food as medicine industry, you know, as an industry. I've heard of sort of the concept, but I didn't really know that it was, you know, it was like a multi-million dollar industry. And I thought that this company was pretty brilliant for coming up with this idea. I mean, I think the whole like meal delivery industry in general tends to be, you know, they tend to have a focus on health. I don't think people are like, you know, getting, you know, they're signing up for delivery, for food delivery or meal deliveries, and it's coming from like McDonald's the whole time. I think that generally, if you're signing up for one of these, you either don't have the time or you know, the capability to be able to cook fresh, healthy meals for yourself. But I think Modify Health has even taken a step further by tailoring these boxes or these meals, you know, for certain conditions. And I thought this was an excellent idea. And, you know, as someone with a background in science, I really want to know, Aisha, your perspective on sort of, you know, the food as medicine industry. To you, does this seem legit? Or do you think that it's somewhat, you know, taking advantage of a potentially vulnerable crowd?
Ooh, good question. I feel like it's a bit of both, to be honest.
Okay, let's hear about it.
Yeah, so let food be thy medicine, right? Hippocrates, who's to argue? And of course, food plays such an important role in our health and well-being, or the flip of that, right? Junk food and processed food can be the bane of our existence and lead to a whole slew of health issues. And so the way we utilize food and how it's, you know, what its function is really kind of up to us in making those important decisions. And so this is a very cool concept. And what it reminds me of is personalized medicine, right? It's like this is personalized nutrition. So if we're talking about, you know, food being medicine, this is personalized food, personalized medicine, and tailored, catering to, you know, whatever an individual's needs and requirements are. And it's not a new concept. I mean, if you think about athletes, if you think about patients, anybody, right? Like we've all probably at some point or another have had to have a modified diet for a certain amount of time for something, right? If you got your tooth extracted and things like that. So yeah, I think it's a very cool concept. Now, I'm a bit skeptical about the whole link between food and certain diseases. Again, I don't think the studies are too robust. Most of the studies linking certain foods to certain conditions, either helping them or in terms of leading to certain conditions, detrimental conditions. I think the research is kind of still a bit loose because a lot of those studies are correlational studies, associative studies. So it's like, okay, a certain population might be eating a lot of this and then they might have high rates of a certain disease, but there could be other factors. And yes, you have those factors are controlled for and things like that to the best of, you know, the researcher's ability, but there are still, I don't know, like for example, so many like different foods or like items are villainized. Like first it was red meat, right? And cholesterol. And now it's like, then it was carbs and now it's like sugar. So it's like, I think every food group goes through like sort of a period scrutiny. Of villainization. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. So I don't know, like, what really is heart-friendly, right? I was talking, whenever I talk to one of my physician friends, it's like, the research is changing on the daily. Like, today, vitamin D, yesterday was good for you. Today, it's like, oh, maybe you don't need to take it. So you know, the jury is still out on a lot of these things, a lot of things to do with food and what is the ideal diet. You have genetics that come into play. You have the environment that comes into play. So it's a very complicated area of research and a very complicated science. And so that's why I'm a bit skeptical when they talk about, oh, this diet is great for diabetes or, you know, heart friendly or PCOS even. Like, I think there's much less known about that. And so when I see things like, oh, this will help you with your PCOS, I'm a bit skeptical. So yeah, both good and bad, but.
Yeah, that is you made such great points, as I knew you would. And I gotta really agree with you on both of them. I think, like, yeah, we know how important food is in our overall health. And I think the only constant of all of these sort of things that we hear is that, you know, whole foods are good for you. And I mean, if there ever comes a time when breaking news, whole foods can cause blah, 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 then, you know, I'm going to be really surprised. Yeah. But yeah, there's so few sort of constant, like, factual things that we know about food, and just like everyone's body and everyone's metabolism and everyone has a different
thing
going on.
Individualistic, right?
Exactly. It's so individualistic. So even with these, you know, targeted health conditions, like a person with PCOS can also have various other things or nothing at all. And it's like, it would be so hard to actually know whether these were making a difference, right? And like, yeah, I agree. It's a kind of, you know, I don't want to say it's like giving people like false hope. I think probably these things can't hurt. That's the other thing.
They can serve as a guide in some way, maybe in the right direction, more or less. But it's not going to be so targeted as like they're kind of claiming.
Right. And I think, you know, this is a business and they want to make money. They could very well publish these recipes for free and let people cook these meals themselves, but you're not going to make any money that way. This is a business. This isn't part of the food industry. It's part of this food is medicine industry.
I didn't even know this was an actual industry.
I know this, and it's quite a lucrative one as well. So the whole concept was kind of new to me as well. I think we're probably going to see more things like this. I mean, it kind of works in tandem, I would say, with like the supplement industry and just, the like health and wellness industry. It's just things we put in and on ourselves, I suppose, that allegedly contribute to our overall well-being. I think the allegedly is an important word, just because it can work for some, may not work for others. So yeah, I think that this is not like a malicious company by any means. I think they have a really interesting concept, and they're definitely, you know, taking advantage of the popularity of like meal delivery. But they're just going about it in like a pretty unique way. And it's kind of rare for me to see these like new concepts or new industries, but you'll learn something new every day.
That's right.
All right, moving on to our next story. So in the US, the primary agency responsible for regulating allergen labeling on food products is, surprise, surprise, the FDA. The FDA established the Food Allergen Labeling and Consumer Protection Act of 2004, which requires that food labels clearly identify the food source, names of any ingredients that contain any protein derived from the 9 most common food allergens, the most recent of which was sesame, which was recently added to that list a couple months back. And while this act is intended to make it easier for consumers with food allergies to identify potential allergens in the products they purchase, many believe that it falls short. And that's why private organizations like MenuTrinfo have established their own certification programs to indicate that certain food products are free from specific allergens. And these certifications are often sought by food manufacturers to assure consumers about the safety of their products for those with food allergies, intolerances, and dietary requirements. So I spoke to Betsy Craig, who's the CEO and founder of MenuTrinfo, just to find out how the company certifies products and then also where government regulations fall short. So MenuTrinfo operates a heavily vetted, certified free-from scheme with standards that have raised the bar for allergen-free products. And this label is pivotal for consumers, especially in an age where ambiguous claims have clouded product labeling. So MenuTrinfo's certification scheme covers an exhaustive list of over 100 manufacturing points for consumer packaged goods, CPG brands, to earn the seal for their products. But how does this differ from government-set standards? Well, the simple answer is that while the certification aligns with the FDA's definition of what constitutes an allergen, it goes far beyond just recognizing them. Its certified free from recognizes the same 9 major U.S. allergens as the FDA. So in terms of verification and surveillance, Craig said, we rely on an in-person focused audit and detailed inspection of the allergen management program, including current good manufacturing procedures, supplier and ingredient vetting, receiving, labeling, storage, processing, sanitation, and cleaning verification through ongoing surveillance, which includes allergen-specific testing and monthly reports. And these aren't just one-off inspections either. The brand emphasizes on the necessity for continuous surveillance, and every outlet undergoes frequent and quantified testing based on the allergen risk it poses. And one of the most pertinent concerns for anyone with allergies is the potential for cross-contamination. So the certified free-from seal addresses this by mandating that an outlet or manufacturing facility implements a robust and verified allergen control plan. It's not just enough for the facility to be free from allergens during production. An all-encompassing allergen control strategy must be in place to counteract any potential sources of allergens. Craig said that it basically comes down to allergens in the facility and whether they are being controlled in each facet of the manufacturing process. The entire facility may be free from allergens for production, but a fully implemented allergen control plan is still required to mitigate any other possibilities or sources of allergens. Now, the general public often finds itself navigating a plethora of vague claims like dairy-free or allergen-friendly, and such soft claims, along with the numerous variations of precautionary allergen labeling statements, or PALs, makes choices complex for consumers. So MenuTrinfo certification aims to clear the haze with its simple approach that demands verification, consistent testing, and regular monitoring. The comparison to the certified gluten-free seal is quite apt in this case. So just as consumers have learned to look for this certification when buying gluten-free products, the certified free-from seal is set to provide a similar beacon of trust for those shopping for allergen-free items. Craig said, with our groundbreaking leading certification, it is much clearer. We go to the facility. We require allergen claims to be verified. We require ongoing testing and proof of that testing. We require ongoing surveillance. And furthermore, while government regulations have certainly made strides, with the most recent updates in the food code as of December 29, 2022, there are still gaps. Notably, the government has yet to establish clear thresholds for allergens, though there are hopes for progress based on the recent reports from the World Health Organization and the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization. And since its reception, the certified free-from label has been met with enthusiasm from consumers. Not only does it instill an extra layer of trust in products and dining establishments, but it also empowers manufacturers with clarity, reducing recalls and preventing events that could tarnish their reputation. Craig said, getting the word out there about our seal has been just beginning, with more and more brands and retailers looking to certified free-from as a solution to a long-term challenge. Additionally, manufacturers gain clarity and can cut down on recalls due to allergens, thus preventing reputation damaging events. So MenuTrinfo certified free-from certification is more than just a label. It's an initiative that stands at the intersection of consumer safety and industry transparency, which is paving the way for a safer, more informed marketplace. So it was wonderful to get Betsy Craig's input on this, and it sort of just, you know, instilled a notion that I already knew, but that, you know, in so many places, the government is falling short, and, you know, these private companies often can get things done with so much more efficiency, so much quicker, and in the end, consumers end up trusting it more. So what do you think about, you know, sort of the government's lack of oversight on these things, and the fact that private organizations sometimes have to get them done themselves.
Oh man, yeah, I think we've talked a lot about this, as you said, like the FDA, Food and Drug Administration, but the food aspect often gets overlooked a lot of the time. Right. And that's such a shame. And I feel like they really need to build a more robust program for their food, like, for their food division. Because, like, again, like when we pick up something in the store, we don't really put a lot of thought behind it. We just think, okay, it's made it to the shelf. There should be some form of regulatory vetting and something behind this. But a lot of the time there isn't, right? Yeah. It's just up to the manufacturers to hopefully comply with things. And again, like as we talk, like food, like you're ingesting this, there are so many things that can go wrong. And I think from contamination from like things like bacteria, viruses to, yeah, allergens. And I think companies like Menu Trinfo that you spoke to, the CEO, I believe. I think it's so great that you have these kinds of companies that are serious about really providing the surveillance that we need in the food sector. And it's also kind of a shame that you have like these kinds of companies having to form and come up and really take the initiative, whereas the government is nowhere to be found. But, mm-hmm. you know, kudos to these companies. And it was so great that you were able to speak to the CEO of this particular company to learn more about the great work that they're doing. And again, like in terms of allergens, like so much can go wrong if like you have some kind of a contamination issue during production or packaging or anything. And it's a very sensitive and vulnerable area. We've seen during COVID how vulnerable the food chain and the food supply is in the US and globally. And I don't know if we've learned much from this, from that, and all the recalls that we see like almost weekly. And I think so much more needs to be done on the regulatory side, on the government side. But since they're not doing it, we have these private companies doing great work. And I think this is really, really great to see. I'm just wondering, how many of these companies are out there? What's the market like? And how do you even compare these companies? Let's say Menu Trinfo is providing the certification as opposed to getting it from another company. Like, how does that all like work out in terms of like, let's say a manufacturer or a consumer decides to look into these companies and wants to decide who to go with, either as a consumer or as a producer? Like, how does that kind of work?
Yeah, that's a really good question. When I was writing this story, I was initially going to also include another private company that that I briefly mentioned, which was the certified gluten-free label. That's another private company that is actually pretty well known among those who buy gluten-free products. It's just that it's that GF in a circle with like a slash through it.
Oh, yeah.
Or sorry, not a slash. It would or like with yeah. GF, it's just the green like the GF. Green, yeah. Yeah. And I know that it's become sort of one of those well-known labels among consumers. And there are actually like quite a few other companies that are similar. But what I found in my research was that they try to each sort of target different things. So this company targets allergens. The gluten-free one targets gluten. There's one, this isn't quite with just food or food at all, but there was one that was like asthma. And that's more for like products that emit like a scent or something, more for like cosmetics that are like asthma. So products that are like asthma friendly. And then there's like dairy free, or there's so kind of any like thing that could be free of something,
right.
there's probably a different company that is, you know, representing that thing. So
is there one company per, no, there wouldn't be one company per thing, right? Like
per allergen?
Allergen or like gluten-free, like the GF one is the most popular, but are there more mm-hmm. out there? Are they competing? How does that
work? Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's also one for nuts, uh-huh. Like a nuts-free certification. Right. Now, I couldn't,
is there one or are there a couple of companies?
There's probably a couple. Yeah, there's probably a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's probably several for dairy and soy and probably all the other ones.
Right. And how do you know which one is good over another? Which one to try?
Yeah.
So it's just unregulated, right?
Mm-hmm. And I don't like have the answer specifically, but I guess the only thing I could say is that these companies, like, they have to over time earn the trust of food manufacturers and just, you know, put their faith into them. Cause obviously, like, this is a service. They're paying for these companies' expertise for them to come in, do inspections, do testing, mm-hmm. Do everything that they do to put that label on their products. So it's sort of a trust, you know, thing that builds over time. And I suppose that if they're not happy with them, if there's an incident, then maybe they're going to walk their business over to mm-hmm. another company. Because I think just like what government regulations are currently, from my understanding, mm-hmm. is just that may contain blah or contains whatever boring. and that, you know, that's so vague, mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of people don't want to take that risk when it comes to allergies, especially if they're very allergic. Mm-hmm. So I definitely like respect the work that these companies are doing, but it's kind of sad and indicative of how little the government
is doing
mm-hmm, is doing and how little consumers trust them and their right to mm-hmm. to feel that way, you mm-hmm. know. So yeah, it's and I think we know this in general, but you know, private companies tend to just get things moving a lot faster, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you did leave these things up to the government, then it could take forever, and that just also comes down to funding, right? I think we've talked about this before, like how little of the funding of the FDA actually goes into food and mostly into pharma and other things.
Right.
So yeah, I, you know, it's a positive and a negative story.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. The positive definitely that you have these private companies taking such great initiative. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the negative with just disappointment in the government and agencies like the FDA. Mm-hmm.
And I think we can kind of compare this company and this sort of like labeling industry to individual like auditing companies who will go in and do food safety inspections, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think we talked about this on a couple podcasts ago when we spoke about that Netflix documentary about how few times the FDA or the USDA actually goes in for inspections. It's like barely at all.
Yep.
So, you know, to prevent like a billion recalls a week, that's why food companies are going to hire outside, mm-hmm. you know, private organizations to do their audits and inspections, because that's just what they have to do. That's just the state of the industry. Mm-hmm. So there's a demand for it. And I'm glad that demand is, you know, is being filled by these companies. But yeah, good and bad.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the end of this episode of the X Talks Food Podcast. If you like today's show, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Thanks, everyone, and see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the X Talks Food Industry Podcast. If you enjoyed our discussions today, please share the episode with your friends and colleagues, and be sure to subscribe in order to be notified when a new episode is released. To join in on the discussion, you can find X-Talks on social media, email podcast@xtalks.com, or comment on the articles directly. Links are in the show description. Take a moment to join our community at xtalks.com to get access to everything we have to offer, including webinars, job listings, virtual meetings, articles, and more. The views and opinions expressed in the podcast are those of the speakers sharing them. They should not be taken as professional advice and do not necessarily reflect the policy or position Honeycomb Worldwide. For further information, email us at podcast@xtalks.com. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.